Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and the title of today's message is Our Daily Bread. Our Daily Bread. How many of you had something to eat when you woke up this morning? Aren't you thankful for a daily food ration? I'm glad for food. You know, speaking of food, last week was my birthday, and my wife wanted to treat me, so she took me out to a nice restaurant, and we went to this restaurant, and we placed our order, and when her order came, we were shocked, all right? We ordered fish and chips, all right? When her plate came, there was this plate full of homemade kettle chips and french fries and stuff, and then there were four tiny pieces of fish, about the size of a chapstick container. Four pieces of fish. I mean, it looked like she ordered guppies and chips, okay? This was a minnow-sized portion. She would have received more fish if she ordered a fillet of fish at McDonald's for a third of the price. You know, it was really, really disappointing. We walked out of the restaurant not very satisfied with that meal. And I don't know, how many of you have ever been to a restaurant before and you ordered something and it came and you're going, boy, I'm really disappointed in that. You were not satisfied. You've been there, you've done that, yes. And you know, when we go to, we want to be satisfied. We want to have a fair deal in life. You go to a restaurant, you want good tasting food and a decent sized portion. You go to the store and you buy a coat or a pair of jeans and you want it to last. You don't want the zipper to rip out in a month. You know, you want to be given a good value. You purchase a car, you want it to run a long time before it breaks down. You don't want it breaking down every week. You pull up to Starbucks and you get your usual order, you know, a skinny vanilla latte or the Java Frappuccino, whatever. I don't do coffee, so I don't know what that is. But, you know, you pull up to Starbucks and instead of getting a piping hot order that should be hot, it's semi-cold. You and I want to make sure that we're satisfied with the things that we receive in life. And this morning, as we take a look at John chapter 6, Jesus is going to deal with the topic of satisfaction in life, but he's going to take it to a deeper level. It's not just going to be a surface satisfaction that you like your fish and chips order you placed at the restaurant. Jesus is going to talk about a satisfaction that goes to the very core of your being. It's a deep down satisfaction in life, and that's what he's going to address. If we take a look in John chapter 6, I'm going to kind of just give you an overview of the first several verses of what takes place. And Jesus feeds 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. Okay, I want you to think about that. 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. And those loaves were probably small little loaves, not like a loaf of Wonder Bread, okay? And now, for those of us who've grown up in church, yeah, we get that. No problem with that. If you are new to church, or if you're new to Bible study, you might be thinking, that's absurd. That's ridiculous. No way could that happen. How could anyone feed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and a two-piece meal from Long John Silver's? You think about it. It can't happen. At the same time, I want you to remember that Jesus, who did this miracle, is the same person who prophesied about his death, his burial in the ground for 3 days, and his resurrection. Not only did he do that, but he pulled it off. Okay? So if someone can raise from the dead, I think, you know, turning a fillet of fish happy meal into all-you-can-eat fish fry, that's a cakewalk for him. Wouldn't you say if you can raise from the dead, you know, multiplying food is easy? And that's what Jesus did. And in light of that, this is the crowd's response when they see this incredible power, this incredible miracle. This is how the people respond. We're going to pick it up in verse 14 of John 6. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force, get this, to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. At this point in time, the Jews were under Roman rule. They were not a free nation, and the Romans heavily taxed them. And the Jews had heard about a coming Messiah. A king was going to come on the scene, going to set them free, going to raise them back to the glory days of David and Solomon. And they were looking for this Messiah. And if Jesus can do this kind of a miracle, they're thinking he could be king. And they were ready to make him king, take him by force and make him king. But Jesus knew that this was not the time for him to become king. Because before he can be king over the earth, he first needs to be king in the hearts of people. Jesus had to die for the sins of mankind because we're in slavery to sin, and only through his shed blood on the cross could he set us free so that we can worship him and let him rule in our lives, because without Christ, if we haven't applied Christ's sacrifice to our lives, we're in charge of our lives and we're the king. We're the ones who say, "This is what I want." We all have a selfish nature. Even my beautiful, wonderful children, when they were born, I did not have to teach them how to be selfish. I had to teach them how to share. Every single baby on the planet is born with a selfish, sinful nature. And as adults, we just learn how to cover it up. But we have this sinful nature that focuses on self. And Jesus came to set us free from that. He is coming again someday to take all of his followers up to heaven. And eventually he's going to rule on earth as king. But this was not the time he needed to die first. So what does Jesus do? He breaks away from the crowd and he goes up on a mountain. And when you take a look at in the book of Matthew, Matthew was one of the disciples, one of Christ's followers. Matthew wrote about this account, and he tells us that Jesus sent the disciples across the sea in a boat, and Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. I mean, how many would think Jesus had been teaching all day? When you read this passage earlier, he's been teaching all day. It's towards evening. The disciples said, "Send these people away." And Jesus says, "No, you give them something to eat." And then he feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many would say that's a pretty big day in your life? You spent all day teaching, and then you perform this miracle, and you feed 5,000 people. It was a big day, a long day, a taxing day. And what does the Son of God do? He says, "I need some time in prayer." He doesn't say, "Well, you know what? I'm just going to go and kick back and sit in a hot tub." He doesn't say, "I am going to, you know, turn on the TV and watch a little ESPN or Home and Garden Channel or whatever it was." Jesus replenished himself through prayer. And if the Son of God replenished himself through prayer when he had a big day, how much more do you and I need to rely on the power of God through prayer? We need to make prayer a regular part of our life. Jesus is a great model of that. And then coming out of this time of prayer, Jesus walks across the water to his disciples, and there's a whole lot of stuff. I want you to read John chapter 6. I'm leaving a bunch out because this is where I want to get to this morning. All those 5,000 people, many of them were following Jesus, they come to him. They finally find him, and this is what they say in verse 26. They're saying, "How did you get here?" And Jesus replies, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me. You followed me. You came after me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Now let's pause right here. These people were trying to manipulate Jesus into a supernatural welfare program of unlimited free bread. Okay? Because they're saying, hey, we need another sign. If you're the one God sent, we need another sign. Moses gave us bread in the wilderness. They're referring back to the Old Testament when God had brought Israel out of slavery. He set them free from Egyptian slavery, and they're in the wilderness. They have no food to eat, and God, for 40 years, gives them supernatural bread. They woke up in the morning, there was bread laying on the ground, and they went and picked up this bread. It was called manna. They picked up bread from heaven. And they're saying, Moses gave us bread every day. What are you going to do? What sign are you going to give us that we know you are the one that God sent? And Jesus says to them that you guys are wrong. He says there's two things you need to realize. He corrects them on two things. He says, first of all, Moses did not give you bread. It was God who gave you bread. Moses was just the instrument. God is the one who gave bread. And then he tells them, secondly, he says, you're thinking about the wrong kind of bread. You're thinking about material things. You're thinking about the temporal values of this planet. He says, you need to go for real bread. And this is verse 32. Jesus says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, you might be wondering this morning, why is Jesus talking about bread? What's the big deal about bread? Well, in your notes, we have three daily bread observations, okay? If you're taking notes this morning, pull out your notes. And daily bread observation number one is this, is that bread was the staple food of that time, of that day. Bread was the staple food, and you needed bread to live. In our modern Western culture, our staple is meat. We have meat at almost every meal. You can have, you know, a lot of times we have bacon or sausage or ham for breakfast. You might have lunch meat or hamburger or something at lunch. And you might do turkey or chicken or fish or steak or roast beef. And you say, Craig, would you quit talking about food? You're making me hungry. But we eat meat. Meat is the staple of our diet. Our meals revolve mostly around meat. But back in those days, first of all, people were poor. They didn't have the ability to buy meat. Also, they didn't have the ability to store meat. They didn't have refrigerators and freezers. And so their meat would last a very short time. They had to cook it up. Maybe they would have to preserve it. But meat did not last a long time. And so bread was their staple food. Bread was the main part of the meal. They'd have bread for breakfast, bread for lunch, and bread for dinner. Bread was the big deal, and so if you had bread, you had food to eat that day. And what Jesus is saying to them is that I am your bread. Now I want you to think about what happens if you don't have food to eat for a long period of time. What happens to you? I know of students, we have several students in our school district that don't get adequate food at home. When they go home on the weekends, they don't eat. And the teachers say, I've heard teachers say, that when they come back to school, it takes till Wednesday before they can begin to think and concentrate and really comprehend. Why? Because they finally had school breakfast and school lunch for a couple days. Their body, their brains now have the fuel to work. When they come to school on Monday and Tuesday, they haven't eaten for a day or two, and so it's a very, you know, it's tough for them to learn. When you don't have food, your body begins to shut down and it doesn't function properly. Thankfully, I have never been in a place in my life where I had no food to eat, unless it was by choice where I decided to go on an extended fast. Now, some of you say, fast? What is a fast? That's not how fast you run. A fast is when you deliberately give up food so that you can spend more time with God. It's something that Christ followers do. In fact, when you look in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you pray, and then he taught the disciples how to pray, he says, when you fast. Do you realize something? Fasting is something that Christ followers should do? If you're a Christ follower, fasting should be part of our lives. Now, for those of you who are not Christ followers today, you're saying, man, I'm glad I'm not a Christ follower. I don't have to give up food. But I encourage you, fast a meal once a week. Just start out something small and begin to say, instead of taking this time to eat my breakfast, I'm going to spend extra time in prayer. Or at lunch, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to leave the workroom. I'm going to go out to my car, or I'm going to sit out on a nice bench. I'm going to take this 30 minutes, this hour that I have, and I'm going to take some time praying to God, trusting God to give me the strength to make it till dinner tonight. All right? Now, really young people shouldn't fast. You're growing and stuff. But if you're a Christ follower, I encourage you to make fasting part of your life. Grow in the disciplines of God. And so the times when I have fasted for extended periods of time, you know what's happened? You get very weak. And it is hard to concentrate. It is hard to think. When you have no food, you cannot function properly. You really have to rely upon God to give you the strength to make it through. And what Jesus is saying is that if you do not have any food, you can't function. And that's what brings us to the second observation. If you're taking notes, Jesus says, I am the real bread. Jesus is the real bread, and if you don't have him, you're not really living. He says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. And here's the point that I want us to see this morning. Jesus is saying, and this is in your notes, he's saying that only a spiritual pursuit of Christ will satisfy your physical journey on the earth. Last week we talked about heaven is for real. And we wrapped up our Jesus the Ultimate Blockbuster series with that. And we talked about how some people are living for the temporary things. They're living for wealth. They're living for pleasure. They're living for acceptance. And they're living for accomplishment or achievement. But they're living for the temporary things on this planet instead of the eternal things, instead of for a relationship and a connection with God. And what Jesus is saying is, if you don't have me, if you don't have a relationship with me, you're not really living, because I am the bread of life. If you don't have me, this bread, you don't have life. I just want to ask this morning, what are you pursuing today? You know, the theme of our entire service, God has orchestrated it around the pursuit of him. The songs we sang this morning, the words that we heard, the message today is, what is your pursuit? What are you going after? What's the driving force in your life? Is your desire to say, Jesus, I want to have you and be in relationship with you throughout the day? Jesus is saying, if you're going to make it through the day, if you're not going to rumble in your stomach, if you're going to be satisfied, if you're going to have the energy that you need to make it through this day and to function and to perform and to do the works of God. He says the work of God is that you believe in him whom God sent. Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you've got this relationship with me, then you can do God's work. We need to be a people that are making Christ our bread. And you say, what does that mean? I want us to look at the third observation here. That means we continually draw from Christ just as your body draws from food. If you have eaten breakfast this morning, your body is drawing from the food. At lunchtime, you eat again. Why? So that your body has the strength. At dinner tonight, you're going to eat again. Our body draws from food all day long. Sometimes what happens as Christians, we get up in the morning, and maybe we do spend some time with Christ, but then we go throughout our day, and we're not really consciously aware that Jesus is with us. We go through our day, we go to school, we go to work, we deal with problems, we go grocery shopping, we pay bills, and we kind of live our life with God on the side. And what Jesus says, he says, I want you to be continually drawing from me, that you're conscious that I'm with you, that my presence is abiding with you, that I am here, because only when you realize I am with you, will you be satisfied? We mentioned last week how the devil likes to distract us from thinking about God through two things. Do you remember what they are? They begin with T. Trials and temptations. And I want you to think about this. If you and I are conscious that God is with me, that He's always present, He's always loving for me, He's always caring about me, then if I go through a trial, if I go through a difficult time, if I go through a problem and something bad happens, if I am in this zone of this consciousness that God is with me, am I going to wig out in fear and anxiety? No. Am I going to get angry and frustrated or bitter and vindictive towards someone? No, because I'm realizing Jesus is with me. If I am drawing from His presence, realizing He's always abiding with me, I can overcome whatever trial it is, whatever bad report I get from the doctor or from the repairman or whatever takes place in my life, I will have peace because I realize that God is greater, God loves me, He's all-powerful, He works all things together for good. I can make it through those trials and tribulations. And when I'm tempted, if I've been in this relationship of, man, Jesus, you love me so much. Thank you for your acceptance. Thank you for your presence and your care and your protection and provision in my life. When I'm tempted to satisfy myself, to indulge in sin, I'm going to realize I've got it much better with Christ. It's not like I have to go find Jesus because I haven't been thinking about Him all day. I've been walking with Him in this continual relationship. You see, Jesus wants to be our daily bread, our daily food. Just as your body will be drawing energy and strength and resources from the food you eat throughout the day, Jesus says, that's the kind of communion, that's the kind of intimacy I want with you all day long. I want you to be aware that I'm with you. It's not just you come to church and you feel me in church and you walk out and I'm gone. No, I am ever present. I am your bread of life. I am here. And if you just draw from my resources, draw from my strength, realize I have never left you or forsaken you. If you feel I have, it's because you've lost sight of your pursuit of me. Only a spiritual pursuit of Christ will satisfy your physical journey. And that is what Jesus wanted us to realize. You say, Craig, how do I do this? Well, after Mother's Day next week, on May 18th, we're going to start a series. It's called 24, Live Another Day with God. And we're going to give you practical steps on how you can really develop this kind of consciousness and this mentality in your life. So make plans to come to that. But until then, I want you to think of this. And it's something that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." It begins with our mind. It begins having a mindset that Jesus is always with me. He's my bread. He has everything I need for every circumstance and every situation I face. And it's having this renewed mindset throughout the day that I realize He's my bread. God's presence is with me. He's never left me. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's Emmanuel. And if I can live with this mindset, this renewed mindset, that's how I can draw from Him. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion. And one of the purposes of communion is to remind us that Jesus wants this intimate, day-long communion with us. There's two elements in communion. And here's the thing. Jesus has instituted communion in the Passover Supper. The night before He died, Jesus celebrated the Passover with His disciples. Passover was a Jewish holiday where they remembered being set free from the slavery, from Egypt. What the Lord did, God said, I want you to take a perfect, spotless lamb. I want you to sacrifice it and then take the blood of the lamb and put it on the sides and on the top of the door to the entry of your home. And at midnight, the death angel is going to come across the whole land of Egypt, and whoever's house has the blood on the door, the death angel will pass over that house. He won't stop there. But if there is no blood, the death angel is going to stop, and the death angel will kill the firstborn in every house. And that night in Egypt, there was great wailing because thousands of people died because they didn't have the blood on their door. And so God said, I want you to celebrate. You are set free. And they called it Passover because death passed over them. And here's the thing. In the Passover meal, they sacrificed a lamb every year, a perfect, spotless lamb. And Jesus had celebrated this Passover meal with His disciples for the past 3 years as they followed Him. But this year was something different. During dinner, Jesus takes bread, He breaks it, and He says, "This is My body." Now, here's the thing. The Passover had certain prescribed things that you did at every stage and you didn't alter it. If you were a little Jewish kid, you grew up, you knew exactly how it went. This is what happens. Some of you maybe grew up in a mainline denomination where you stand at a certain time, you sit at a certain time, you kneel at a certain time. How many grew up in that kind of a church? Some of you did. I did. I mean, you knew when something was out of kilter if they missed it. Well, that's like the Jews in the Passover, and this is what took place. Jesus says, "This is My body." Little did they know that 40 years later, when the Romans were going to come and destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple, when they celebrate Passover, they would no longer use a lamb because they couldn't sacrifice it anymore. They used bread to symbolize the body of the lamb. And to this day, as Jews celebrate Passover, they use unleavened bread to symbolize the lamb. Jesus was setting them up saying, hey, this bread, this is My body, which is given for you. And then He said, this cup, and it was the cup after supper. There were four cups in the Jewish Passover. The third cup symbolized the blood of the lamb that had been shed. He says, this cup, the cup of the blood of the lamb, this is My blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. And as we celebrate communion, it reminds us of the body and blood that Jesus shed. But secondly, the bread reminds us that Jesus is to be our staple all day long. The bread reminds me that God's presence is with me no matter what, and that He wants a day-long relationship, intimacy, closeness with me. Is Jesus your daily bread? I want you to look at the bottom of your sermon section this morning, your notes. And it says, next steps. What is God saying to me? I want every person to take this out and to grab a pen from in front of you, because I want you to think about where your life is at regarding Jesus being your daily bread. There's a box there. The first box says, I need to confess my sin and accept Christ's sacrifice. Some of you are here today and you're not satisfied with your life. You know you're missing something. There's an emptiness, and that emptiness is that you don't have Jesus, the bread of life, living inside of you. You haven't turned from your sin. You haven't asked God to forgive you of your sin and said, Jesus, I want you to be in control of my life. But you're here this morning, and the whole time there's been something tugging on your heart. You know that you're not right with God, and you want to be right with God. If you need to give your life to Christ today, if you need to confess your sin and say, I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior, I want Him to be my bread of life, I want you to check that box right now, okay? If that's you, if you need to become a Christ follower, check that box, okay? There's a second box there. And many of us this morning, we are Christ followers. But as I've been talking, you realize, you'd say, you know, I realize that Jesus isn't my bread of life, because many times I go through my day and I'm just kind of oblivious to Him being there. I'm really not living in this consciousness that God loves me, that He wants relationship with me. Maybe you need peace in your life. You're full of anxiety today, and you're not letting God's presence give you peace. I want you to write that down. Check that box today, okay? There's some of you here today, maybe you're fighting temptation in a certain area in your life, and you need God's help, His power to overcome that. I want you to write that down, power to overcome whatever it is, and check that today. Some of you this morning, maybe you're fighting depression, and you just can't get over it, and you need Christ's presence and His joy in you, because He's never left you, and He's watching over you, and you need to write that down today. If whatever area of your life needs the abiding presence of Christ, I want you to write that down and begin to live on it this week. Come back to this and say, Jesus, You're with me. I want you to pray every day in the morning, Jesus, be my peace, be my joy, be my strength, be my companionship if it's loneliness. But let Christ become your daily bread. Feast on His presence in your life. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion. And communion is something for Christ followers. And so if you check that box saying, I want to become a Christ follower, I want to say a prayer, I'd like all of us to say that. But if you're becoming a Christ follower today, I want you to say this, because I don't want you to partake of communion. See, communion is not just a ritual. It's something that says, I have received the sacrifice that Jesus gave for me. You just don't take communion because a person next to you takes it. If you're not following Christ, then I don't want you to take communion, because the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he says, some of you are eating judgment and damnation on yourselves because your life is full of sin, and yet you take communion saying, I've received Christ, and you're a hypocrite. I don't want you to do that today, okay? So if you want to receive Christ, I want you to say this prayer. I want everyone to repeat after me, Christ followers and those who are receiving Christ. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.